Yes, yes, it is.
There we go. So I apparently had the wrong organizer code today, which I swear I checked it with Jean. I don't know if they've changed it since I checked it or what happened, or if maybe I checked the old one with her and she didn't catch it, but the operator had to start our call today and then record for us because participants cannot start recording. So that's why it took a few extra minutes to get online, too. Sorry about that.
All right,
so I heard Lee and Tara. Who else is on the line?
Jackie.
Jackie is here?
Yep.
Sounds like no Rab, though. So what do you, the person who did the call last week, what did you have as your organizer code?
8894.
Okay, I was trying to use the 9903, so that must have been the old one then, huh?
Yeah, I've only used that one a couple of times. I'm not sure if that's like a special super secret code or...
Apparently not, I didn't have the clearance to use it today. So 8894 is what you have?
Yeah, that's the one I usually use for like the webinars and all the rest of it, so.
Okay, the 998, I did check it with Jean, and she just must have been reading it quickly and recognized it and not thought, oh, hey, that was the old one.
Yeah, the 9903, I've used that before. I don't know what the difference is. So.
Yeah, I do remember there was a change when they kind of consolidated everything to one account. I remember.
Yeah, maybe that's it. Maybe the other code is not any good anymore.
Yeah.
All right.
They definitely know who we are, though, because he asked me, he's like, can you get in touch with Dennis to get the new code? I'm like, I can try. I don't know how quickly he's going to respond to email.
So. I used 9903 for our call 2 times ago.
Huh.
Because our regular time was, she said that the time was taken, so she had to give a different access code.
Oh,
maybe
it went, so that must be the difference. I must have, like, mixed. Because then you have a different, you not only have a different access code, but you must have a different organizer code.
Yes.
Interesting. Interesting. Well, I'm glad we're all online now. So since we're already late, we should probably start.
All right. Well, I guess I'm technically the moderator here. So do we want to start with the ESCOTS stuff? Where are we with that? Tara, I know you've got an outline for the poster presentation.
I sent out more detailed than just the outline, though.
Okay.
Last week I sent out. Did you guys get it? Because I didn't hear back from anyone, so maybe it was one of those weird things where my computer went nuts again.
Let's see.
I sent it on.
Yeah, I have like 200 emails and I haven't gone through all of them, so.
I have a couple from Saturday, maybe.
Yeah, I was procrastinating. That's one of those.
Oh, wait.
I tend to ignore my Saturday.
It says Escott's poster session updated file 5/5/2011.
All right. Yeah, I think I have it.
And that I actually cut and pasted stuff from our Google Docs into it. So it's more than just the titles of slides and stuff. And I didn't put it in Google Docs. I don't know why not.
Okay. Oh.
I have one that just says ESCOTS poster slides. And it says you'd pulled stuff from Google Docs. And then I have another one that says something about, like, use of context that was just a comic. It was a single slide with a comic with one of our exact studies, which I loved.
Yes, I did. I sent another one that just had the comic because when I was looking through, I wasn't sure if the one I sent was too text-heavy for a poster session, so then I started playing around with Toondoo to see if I could get something that was more fun. And then
right.
I decided I really should study for my final. So. And then I stopped.
So that one email presents, I remember you had 3 options for what it could look like, mostly detailed text, little text so that people have to talk with us, and then...
And then a combination with graphics and...
Yeah.
Okay, whoa, yeah, wait on.
Okay, that I think is the most recent email I have pertaining to the poster.
Another question. Okay.
I have to be honest, I've never done a poster this way. I've only ever done, like, one big slide that I blow up. So I've never done it this way.
With the poster board being provided and having to attach stuff to it?
Well, basically, I just have the, like, basically one big slide, and it has the two different sides for the trifold part of it.
Oh, okay. I've never done it that way. I've always done individual things. That doesn't matter. How did
well,
you
it doesn't
do
mean
it
either.
Last
I just been, I don't feel like I have a lot of input yet on this, because I've never done it this way.
I think it's basically you kind of imagine, you know, this just takes the places of the text boxes you would have on your big poster.
Yeah.
So...
Well, how did you print a big poster like that, Jackie?
Well, we have people here on campus that do it for us.
What software do you use to create it then?
PowerPoint.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you just basically do a single slide that's kind of tiny to read on the screen, but then when it prints full size. We have poster printing facilities here, too. I just don't know. And they don't take long to print. It's just a question of if they have the time. Like, they take, I think, you know, 15, 20 minutes to print with the proper, if the facility is equipped for it. But I just don't know the campus facilities if they're, like, backed up this time of year. Because we could go that option, and I think I could get my department to pay for it. If we wanted one big poster, but I don't know how early we would need the poster ready in order to have time to print it. So the single size is kind of easy because we can do them whenever we want. I mean, once we're ready, I'll just print them on the department's color printer and we can make changes up until the night before, even if we needed to.
Tara, for your benefit, I just sent mine that I'm posting at the other, presenting at the other posters and beyond sessions.
Okay. Yeah, I'm, like I said, and I've only ever done engineering, and I haven't done that many poster sessions, and it was always you had to bring individual slides to stick on the board.
Well, I don't think it matters. I mean, I know here, you know, we made sure we got it printed this week because we weren't sure if the people would be in and stuff, so.
Yeah.
So then are we working off of the sort of more text-heavy slides right now, or have you sent a more recent version than that?
No, I have not done anything more graphics.
Okay.
So I can do them. I just have not done them since I didn't hear back, and they take a while to do, so I didn't want to spend a lot of time on them if we weren't going that route.
Yeah. I do like the idea of having more graphics or tables because I feel like that presents the information in kind of an easy-to-digest format. Looking at the outline that you had with kind of the text-heavy version, I thought it was a good outline. Should we just go through that, like, slide by slide and see if there are questions, comments, or what would be the most useful?
We can do that, and then I can update based on, I can try to, if we want to go with the one big thing, I can try to do something like that, too.
I was going to say, do you know how to do that, Tara?
No, but it's PowerPoint. Can't be that hard.
Well, just take Jackie's slide as a template and just save that, and then...
It looks like all you did was put a bunch of different text boxes and stuff in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, that's not...
It's still easier to start with someone else's as a template and just copy over their text.
Okay. I just didn't know if we want to maybe split this up a little bit, or if it's easier if Tara does the actual legwork here. We just give her... feedback.
Doesn't matter to me.
Okay.
I have to finish grading and then I'm done for the semester.
All right. So So we've got the, okay, so if we go through the first two slides are basically just title and project sponsored by Cosmos. So if we look at the overview of literature slide.
This is one that we can either go with the text heavy or we can do the second version that I sent. I can do two different slides. I can do one that has the benefits with a little cartoon associated with each benefit, and then I can do the unintended consequence piece. The cartoon that Carla was talking about.
Do you think you'll be able to find a cartoon that goes with each one?
I made them. I made this one.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah, I'll just make one.
Wow.
Oh, all right.
It's really easy. There's a software online. It's Toondoo. We have our HR, our freshman experience students do them at midterm. So
cool.
You just go in and make your cartoon, and then you can save it.
What I would suggest is maybe rather than making one cartoon for every point, maybe do like one benefits cartoon, one consequence cartoon. That way you're not having to do five. You're just doing two.
Okay. What I was thinking for the benefits, I was going to do one where the teacher is doing standing in front doing like step one, step two, step three, and then you have a student sleeping, one on their cell phone, one so they're not engaged. And I was going to put an X through that and then have one where the students are working together and are engaged in the lesson. Is that okay?
Yeah, I think that sounds good.
Yeah, if you feel like you have room.
And do it in place of the text. I mean, have the text smaller.
I just had a thought and it escaped me. Oh, have you seen the cartoons that are on CauseWeb too?
No.
There is, are you familiar with the CauseWeb site?
Yeah.
Okay, so under, what is it, Lee? Is it under resources, I think? You should have this.
Oh, yeah.
Memorized, right?
Yes, it is under resource, under fun.
Yeah, like resources, fun. There is actually a whole set of cartoons. Some of them are really cute. And so that might just save you some legwork if you could use some ones. I, off the top of my head, I'm not thinking of any in particular that would definitely lend themselves to the poster, but...
Are we allowed? Because it says, except as I will not redistribute, copy, or download files to others. Are we allowed to put them on a poster?
I think so. As long as we're not,
if you
maybe even put the URL really small underneath, just say CauseWeb, you know, taken from causeweb.org, and you're not passing it off as your own, I think that would be fine. I mean, I use them in class all the time.
If you find one that you want to use, I can certainly find out for you very quickly.
Okay.
Actually, I could probably find out while we're talking. So keep talking.
But, yeah.
Yeah, it looks like there's 120, so I'll look through them and see if there's anything.
Yeah, and you can kind of sort them by category. Like, you can do the browse by category. So it's not perfect, but it gives you some way to kind of narrow down ones that really wouldn't be relevant and just flip through. Some of them are actually really cute. Some of them are very good. And we had a student here at NC State who won a competition for developing a new one. I think it's going to be unveiled at USCOTS. But yeah, the other thing I would suggest for the comic that you have on the use of contextual problems, when I was reading it, I read the panels left to right and then down, whereas it looks like you have it going down and then across.
No, I have it left to right. The first one is the listen about the article, then the kid flashes back. And based on his experience, he believes that.
Oh, it's a flashback.
Yeah,
okay.
I need to add like a bubble or something around it. I couldn't figure out how to do it that morning, so.
Interesting. I wonder if you could do like small bubbles on the first panel, small bubbles from his head going out to the side.
Oh, that's a good idea.
That might give you the illusion of a flashback. Okay. All right, I see that now.
All right, According to the CauseWeb IT manager, Absolutely, we can use any of the cartoons, and if you tell me which one you want, I can get the full resolution artwork, not just the little clip from the web. So, Tara, if you find anything, just let me know. And,
okay.
The webmaster will get you what you need. Justin, we'll get you what you need.
So, say, and by IT tech, you mean your husband?
Yes, I mean my husband.
Okay. All right. And I think with these, we don't have to do, again, we don't have to do graphics for either every single point or even every single slide you have here. The idea is just to have some to kind of punctuate. That way you're also not killing yourself for all of this. Like, I think the belief bias slide were probably just better with text for those. And I would maybe eliminate the subheadings, confirmation bias and belief bias, and just make all of the bullets kind of major bullets just running in order.
Okay.
That's my comment on that slide.
Just kind of skipping down. Is it me, or is the example of a research question really, 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 really small?
It's really, 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 really small.
Okay.
Yeah, I would pick a different question, because this is the only one, I think, where we had, like, the problem set up first and then the four scenarios. I think the other one's the problem set up shorter, so it's looped into it. So I would just pick a different question, like maybe the texting question, so they see how it connects to the cartoon.
I can do it. The only reason I had put this one in was because I thought it was the only one we had a chance of having data completed for.
Yeah, that was what I was about to say. Since we might have data, do we want to...
Oh, true.
Well, I mean, if it's spread out, I mean, if we actually are going to put this in a full poster form, we might be able to make the text a little bit bigger.
Well, you might not even have to put all, like, four things separately and actually, you know, put, like, the, you know, the random sampling beginning for each, then get like two bullets for the two different options we put for it.
Oh yeah, good point. Because it is a lot of repeated tasks.
It's exactly the same thing. Kind of like maybe it'd be like here's the random sampling and the two different issues we had, and then here's the bias sampling and the two different conclusions we had or something.
Yeah, we don't have to have the exact text that was on each. That's a really good point.
So just do sample scenarios? So one sample that was random and one that was biased?
Well, I'm just saying, like, if you look at the very first two, everything up to is found to be 45 or 35 pounds is exactly the same.
Well, could you even, like, shorten it up to, like, a little table and just say, you know, sampling technique and then, right, well, hold on, let me think about this. What the conclusion was, whether it was underweight or overweight. Could you even shorten it up that much? Like even just... Does everybody follow what I'm saying?
No.
No?
I think... I don't know if I would do it as a table. I'm kind of playing with it just as basically two separate bulleted lists, sampling scenarios, and then we could say random sample, bias sample, and then a second bulleted list, possible conclusions, problem with weight, no problem with weight. And then say we did, that's the type of thing that we could talk, if someone does come to talk to us, we could say, yeah, we had all four possible combinations of these things.
Okay.
I'll try a mock-up and email it to people.
Okay.
Did you guys have anything on the slides before that one? The research questions, the overview of the study, the timeline? The timeline I pulled from the paper that Harla sent.
Yeah, the one thing about the timeline is it says appendix. It still has the references to the appendixes in it. The
appendix. Oh.
Sorry to pull those out.
Yeah.
The research questions... would just check that the wording of those is the same. I had in the SRLT paper, I can't remember whether I stated them as hypotheses or stated them, I think I stated them as hypotheses, not research questions. But we might want to look at the wordings of those and decide which is the best one to put.
Yeah, I didn't pull those from your paper. I pulled those from the stuff
right.
that we had on the stuff that we had started writing on for the literature review paper. I can check to make sure they're consistent with your paper, though. Overview. Does anyone want that changed at all?
I think that looks good. I don't see anything.
So we're okay with using tech slides for the confirmation belief bias, the research questions, and the overview?
Yeah, I'm not sure there's much graphically you could do with those.
I would say in that case, in some situations, what might be the best thing for us is just to maybe include like some color for titles and bold text and that sort of thing. To just still make it kind of visually engaging.
Can do that. Okay. So, timeline, we're all good. I deleted the appendices references. Research question. Hurley, you're going to send an example of what you were talking about?
Almost done with it. We'll need to still play. I'm having, for some reason, the spacing seems far, like there's, the margin is too large on one side, and I can't figure out an easy way to fix that, but that's something nitpicky we can play with a little later. Almost done with that, so we can keep talking as we go, and I'll send that through in just a minute.
Okay. So we're on the what we expect to see slide,
mm-hmm.
Which is directly from Harlow's paper.
Mm-hmm.
So any comments there?
Is that when I set the coding scheme, the updated solo, I had updated that a little.
Oh.
Are there okay. any comments, and this is kind of in general too, on which one we want?
Oh, if we want to put the codes in here with this?
Codes are on the next page.
Yeah, like, so what I'm asking, did you pull that, the what we expect to see, did you pull that from the SRLT document or from the coding page?
I think I pulled this from the coding.
Okay, so then that should be the current version.
I'll double check to make sure, but I'm pretty sure I did, because then they have the classification scheme on the next page. So I think I just pulled the table, put it there, and then pulled the rest of it and put it on the bottom.
I have both open right now, and it looks like it's coming from the coding page. The only thing that's missing is there's some bold text that's not on the slide.
Not in bold or just not on the slide at all?
It's just not in bold.
Not in bold on the slide.
Oh, yeah, that's probably fine. I'd only put it in bold on the coding so that you guys would see what I had changed, like to make it easier to see what I had changed.
Okay. And then, yeah, the coding category is the one in how you'd matched up the codes to the boxes is not on there either, which I don't think is necessary for the
Right.
Because that was more for us.
Like still sorting that out as we go through.
Yeah.
Oh, I have to delete the students' names on the classification scheme slide.
Yeah. Yeah, that would...
I don't think Jackie wants her students' names out there for everyone to see.
Probably not.
Man. The internet just froze and crashed.
Okay.
So what we expect to see is, okay, classification scheme, once I delete student names, that's, do we want that on there? Since we've spent so much time in the past. Really where most of our time's been spent.
This
instead
is what
of,
we've been doing.
It might be an interesting way to get feedback on it.
That was what I was about to say, is we might get some interesting commentary. On, or just, you know, see what people say. Because I think people are going to be interested, I mean, the people that are interested to see how we're analyzing all this and what we're looking for. So, I don't know, we might get some interesting... Do we want to say it's a developing classification scheme?
Yeah, classification scheme, have a little star in progress.
Under construction or something?
Yes, exactly. Just put some caution tape on the slide. My internet crashed again.
Do we want to explain what SOLO is, or do we want to just assume that people know it's SOLO? Because we don't really explain that anywhere else.
Yeah, I would say, since we already have a lot going on, that's something we talk to people about.
Okay.
Just be prepared to know what the acronym is and kind of what it does, and then just point out to them. Because the ones that know it will get it and see, hopefully see the connection to our scheme then. The other ones, the ones that aren't familiar with it, hopefully will just ask.
Any other
should comments? I put a reference on the bottom of the page where with a website that has the SOLO stuff on it?
Do we have a reference on the reference page about the SOLO stuff?
No.
No.
I forgot to put one in. That's a good idea, though.
Maybe we could just do that instead of, because we're so text-heavy.
Okay. All right.
Other commentary on the classification scheme slide? Or additions, subtractions, multiplications? All right. So then we got the two opinion survey slides.
Yeah, they need some work. I just drew the results on them.
Okay.
Do you want table pie charts? What do you guys want for those?
Ooh, pie chart.
Okay. Somebody has strong feelings for pie charts.
Actually, the funny thing is I normally don't, but I think that would be a good visual way to communicate the same information, so it gets us, again, a breakup where it's less text.
Okay. So they are pretty.
Yeah. Yeah, as long as they're not, I wouldn't go all fancy on them. No, like, 3D pieces suspended pie charts, just your classic 2D.
Okay. You sure you don't want them split apart based on the strong opinion, neutral, no opinion?
Can you split them apart grouped that way? Because is it two? Did we do zero, or not zero and one, like one and two, six and seven? Or was that the tiebreaker? Like, if there was a lot of, I don't know, we'll see. Just for now, just do the simple ones.
Okay.
And if we have time and you are so inclined and you want to try and break them up, but not like, you know, I don't know. Sometimes if we had all of the pieces, since there's going to be 8 pieces in every pie, if we had all 8 pieces separated, that just might be then visually overwhelming. But I like the idea of pie charts there. Is there a better way to do, I feel like though that these slides kind of came out of nowhere. So we talk about the opinion survey. Could we maybe go back spring 2011? So these are not the pilot results. These are the current semester results.
Right.
Okay.
So we should probably not.
Maybe just even put the title in here, preliminary results opinion survey. Even though that's not going to change, it just, or opinion survey results or something to let us know, like, to let us know that we've kind of gotten to the results section now.
Okay.
That would be my suggestion, results opinion survey.
Well, since we don't have that many actual results, I could do a whole slide that just says results and split it up.
Yeah.
Because we don't have much. We may have Jackie's class done.
And then maybe if we actually get Jackie's class, like the percent of the codes or something like that, the classification schemes, if we can come up with a nice way to summarize that in time, I would maybe move the classification scheme slide down. So you have the scheme, and then right below it, you have the results based on the scheme.
Well, okay.
That's just a suggestion. We may decide that that's not the way to go, but I would want those, I think.
Closer. I'm wondering if there's a better way just in general to organize that.
Yeah.
Does anybody have anything, comments on the opinion survey results?
I think there were some where you were concerned that they had changed, right?
Yeah, the split wasn't split anymore.
I think, so the way I remember us defining split was split between neutral and strong, not necessarily split between strongly agree and strongly disagree. So I think when you look at it that way, it's still decent because there's still, in some sense, the heaviest loadings are on a strong option and a neutral option for Mac PC. And all, I think it's even better kind of when you look at the medical marijuana. That was how I remember split, was kind of split, strong, neutral. Because I even remember us saying that those would be nice problems then because we would be able to look for the same context. We would be able to see, did the neutral students fit our pattern? Did the strong students fit our pattern? Like, so we, it's almost blocking on context then with those split ones.
Yeah,
check.
But looking at the original survey, I just pulled it up, about 33% were 0 or 4 on the Mac versus PC one.
So we've actually flopped from 0 to 7.
And then about 21% were on both extremes for that.
So it's not as strong, but it's still, I guess it's kind of fanned out a little more.
people have gotten more upset with their PCs, I guess.
So here's an odd question. Why does tuition have so many missing?
That's the one that some of the people at NC State used a copy of the survey that didn't have the tuition question on it.
Oh, okay. I was just, because everything else had 20 missing. I didn't know if that was a typo or something.
When I first passed out the survey, I pulled it up off of my IRB application. And then Tara pointed out to me after, like the day after I'd photocopied it and given it to the TAs, Tara pointed out to me that we had since changed it, like since we'd done the IRB.
Huh.
And one of the questions, the biggest problem was that I had forgotten the tuition question. That was my bad. So about half my sections, I was able to catch the TA and say, no, use this one instead, but then some of them not.
Why were there missing in other ones? Did people just not answer them or something?
Yes.
Well, I think that good news is at least looking from, you know, the neutral questions and the strong questions to the Mac PC marijuana questions is it. At least the Mac marijuana questions are more muddled. You know, it may not be the same split we had in the pilot study. It's certainly, I don't know, it looks still more muddled to me than the luggage and the iridation question look neutral for the most part, and tuition and texting look pretty strong.
Yeah. And that, again, can be something that we could use as a talking point. Maybe if just for our own reference, we know what the percentages were in the pilot survey for those two. So we can say, well, this is what it was when we looked at it in the pilot survey, and we can see a definite shift, but these two are still clearly. So now they're more spread than split, but they're not clearly loading as either strong or neutral.
Yeah.
I actually like that. I like the use of the word muddled.
Depending on how this page ends up looking, I think somewhere we need to report our sample size, because I don't think anyone wants to have to stand there and add.
Okay.
I'm just trying to figure out, like, how many people did we have?
Jackie raised an interesting question. For the 20 people who never filled out the opinion survey, since we can't really use them anyway, do we just want to delete those?
Probably.
Yeah, I think they're just, missing data points. Or
so we just drop them. Yeah, we just drop them from the sample completely. Basically.
So they are all, Carla, they're all from your school. Do you need a list of them so that you don't use their?
I'm so not surprised that all the missing data is from my school. I bet you I know. I think I remember what section they're from. There was one section where they, that I don't think the TA did the opinion survey at all.
They're spread out. There's a bunch from section, or from what you have numbered 8.
That must be the one where it was missed, and then just a few others who didn't get it.
There's one from 9, one from 10.
I'll be able to just pull them, because it should be obvious which ones they are. I'll just sort by school and then look for the blank rows. I will pull those out. And again, I say we just drop them completely from the sample, so it just reduces our N, but they're not counted as missing necessarily. And then we ignore, if I drop them from the opinion survey file where it will be easy to go in and physically delete the rows, then later when we merge that data with any codes we have, or I'll just mark them as not consenting and pull them out of the pile to be coded. I'll figure that out. This is the problem, unfortunately, with working with 10 different teaching assistants who have never taught before and don't necessarily care to teach.
I'm sure it's not the only problem either.
Yeah.
Jackie, I could do the on the overview of study slide to break up some of the text. I could do a sample size, and then I could do some sort of graphic broken down by school.
I mean, I think as long as it's there somewhere, because otherwise I just feel like people are going to sit there and be like, how many people were there?
Yeah, you could put like little logos in for all of our schools. That would be kind of cute if you had room.
Yeah.
Maybe then
I can send you a graphic.
Maybe what I can do is we can do opinion survey administered first week of classes, and then can put the school logos, can put the sample size, and then we could always do the results of the opinion survey right there. And then continue on with the three research questions administered and so on.
Oh, that might work.
And then we still have our timeline. I can delete the opinion survey from the timeline because it will be on the slide before, and I can just have the timeline for the questions and the interviews.
Yeah. We may also decide here if if we run out of space, we might be able to get rid of the timeline slide completely because your overview of study is kind of a rough timeline as well. You know, you mentioned they were administered in class and on the final exam, and then you have them in the order they were administered in. So we could use that as our timeline. So that might be if we run out of space, that might be a place we can free some up without losing too much information.
Okay. Yeah, if you guys have logos that you like, send them to me. Otherwise, I'll just capture from your website, your school's website. I don't know if that's legal, so.
Yeah.
Capture them on the website and put them on my poster.
That's fine. I think, again, as long as you're not trying to sell them, I think you're fine.
Okay.
You know, it's not like you're going to make T-shirts with our logos on them and then try and sell them.
No.
Okay. Well, moving right along here, the preliminary result, obviously we have not yet looked at the Excel spreadsheet here. Do we want to try and do that? Do we want to try and get something?
So shift our attention to the coding scheme?
Yeah.
I like that idea. Tara, do you feel like you have some good feedback on this?
Mm-hmm. I think I'm going to leave them as individual slides until we get it done.
Yeah.
And then I can cut and paste into one big.
Yeah, and I need to check on whether we'll have enough lead time for that. Like if it's a case where the poster office is really dead this time of year and it takes 20 minutes to print it, then we can do that. If it's the case where they're crazy busy and they needed a 3-week notice just to get you the appointment, then we might have to just stick with the individual slides. So I'll check into that. So don't go through the work of copy and paste until you hear from me.
Okay.
I was going to say, yeah, Hurley, if you find out that you can't do it, I know Capital has printing too, and since we're done and all that, I might actually be able to get it done before I leave here.
Were you able to bring it on the plane?
I'm sure. I'm sure it doesn't at all look like I'm bringing a giant sword onto the plane or something.
Well, just screen it is all. But, yeah, you can bring – people travel with posters all the time.
Yeah, so as long as I can get it printed before Tuesday morning – you know, I can bring it with me if we have it done by then. So if you run into trouble, Hurla, let me know, and I can check into printing here, find out how long it takes them to do it. So, because they have a big undergraduate symposium thing, so they're printing posters all the time. It's just a weird thing about Capital. Just don't ask.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I'm sure that NTSU has, I know they have floaters. I just don't know what or how busy they are.
Yeah.
Real quick before we move from the presentation, my email crashes every time I hit the button attach a file. So what I did was I took my example slide. It's just a single slide with the luggage question on it, and I uploaded that to Google Docs so you can at least see the idea of what I was talking about. And then, Tara, if you like that, you can just copy-paste the text in.
Okay.
Or I can try an emailing it at a later date, but I'm tired of having to reboot the Internet. So that is out
there.
Will
we have access to your slide?
Oh, no, thank you. I'll send access for you now. I forgot about that whole sharing thing. All right, I will set that while we are talking.
Okay. So we're moving to the spreadsheet. So
I sent mine before we had the discussion by email on whatever day that was.
Okay.
So there's a couple of mine that will probably would change after our discussion.
Yeah, and I grew less confident as I was going through the pile, I'll be honest.
Did you guys get the response from me with all of your codes attached, looking
yes.
at the agreement?
Mm-hmm. With the highlights and everything?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, and I think one of the biggest things I had trouble with was just whether to count something as one idea or multiple ideas. That was one, I know it sounds sort of silly, but there was a couple of responses where I was like, well, is this one statistical idea or do I count this as two statistical ideas? So I don't know if anybody else had trouble with that, but.
I agree. And I think particularly when you were considering something as relational, you know, you were thinking, well, is this one idea that's kind of irrelevant or is it just showing complete understanding of the problem, actually. I noticed that was something I got to the email thread kind of late, but I noticed that was something other people had questions about. But I think overall, like something in that case, I think you just make kind of make your best judgment whether it seems like it's just complete understanding or whether that seems like that's something thrown in there because they were just throwing stuff in.
So, do we want to, all right, well, do we want to talk about the ones where most of us agreed? Do we want to look at the extreme disagreement? What would be the most helpful here?
I think we need to talk about the ones where we disagreed, and that can help us,
all right.
Hopefully help us define the code. Overall, though, what did you guys think? Were you encouraged by what you saw when you looked at our codes, discouraged? Do you think this is a good system that we can just kind of discuss and hash out, or do you think we need to try again?
I liked it. I like this better than anything that we've done so far.
Yeah, no, I would definitely agree with that.
Okay. I would say then let's start with the two cases that were the worst and see if we can kind of discuss what we were thinking and then see if that helps us with some of the other ones.
Are the orange the worst?
Yes.
So that would
have been. Thankfully, there were the fewest of those.
And those only showed up on the context part, right?
Yeah, Keegan Birdsdale.
Yeah, it seemed like we had the most disagreement on part two.
Right, that you're relevant information.
You know, what we really should do is put page numbers on these. Sorry.
Yeah.
I've given up. I printed mine and alphabetized them.
Yeah.
I was doing everything online, but...
All right. Well, if anyone has the key.
It's 30.
30? All right. Ah. So this is toward the end, so yes, this is one I was less confident about.
This is where I think part of our thread might be playing a role, as we're trying to figure out if they mentioned average, if that really wasn't relevant.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that's what I flagged about it in mine. So I put that he had one additional statistical idea, and I read that as I was keying in on that average idea that he said. You know, he said, well, the average is 35, so that means some of those bags had to be even heavier than average. So I took that as an not important statistical piece of information.
Does it mean that there aren't people carrying on? Yeah, and I'm the one person that said contextual. I think I was just looking at it from the point of, you know, he's talking about this plane carrying on heavier bags. Again, it was toward the end, so I was starting to, you know, talk myself in circles.
But I think the way he wrote it goes with what you said in your email, that he needed that, or she, is this a he or she?
He.
That he needed to indicate that he understood what an average was.
Yeah. If we're going to call it a statistical concept.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Tara, you said you saw multiple statistical concepts.
I did, because I took the only taken 500 weights to mean that he thought the sample was too small, and we said that if the sample was biased and they said the sample was small, then we were going to give them an MS if they discussed something else in number two.
I think that was for number number one, actually. We said we'd give them an MM for we would count it as an incorrect idea under the first question. So everything sample size we put under the first question.
You know what? Then I didn't print out the right thing. I thought we were doing both incorrect and irrelevant. That's how I coded them all. Did I print out the wrong paper?
Maybe. I tried to update it. So I sent you, oh, yeah, yeah. What I did is I sent you one file that listed the choices, and then verbally we talked about it on the phone. And I just asked at that point, I said, do you want me to send you an updated file, or can you guys just make the changes on your end?
And yeah, I never made changes on my end.
Yeah. If I had done the notes, you would have caught that, but I never got around to the notes from the last call, so.
Honestly, I wouldn't have caught it anyway, not this week.
Yeah, so I think what it's supposed to be is basically what you should be looking at, it should say if the sample was biased, you should have two bullets there, one which ends with a one equals either pre-structural or like a mixed
response.
And then the second one should be question two. Delete that second bullet.
See, every single one I put in both.
I wonder then how much of the disagreement is due to that.
Probably a lot.
That's actually good, though, because that's something we can fix really easily. If you want to look at yours real quick, and update that, or I can do a new agreement check, or if we want to go through and see, but
I should be able to find it quick, because it would be something I've highlighted and underlined.
Yeah, so. Yeah, mine are getting, I've highlighted and underlined in, like, different shades of blue ink, some in pencil, some in, my tests are becoming quite colorful.
And then, honestly, for myself, looking at it, I can see why it should be. I would agree with the U.S. probably on this one. I missed kind of the doesn't mean that there aren't people. So I was just came like, oh, he just says there's an average of 35. That doesn't mean anything.
And mine would also change to U.S. for that one.
All right. Well, I will make the changes here, and that gets rid of one of the cases of extreme disagreement. Now, does that seem like something people could reproduce for the future? in terms of knowing now how to code this. So we do, if they're mentioning something that seems to really be discussing averages in detail, that gets keyed in, that gets counted as a separate idea under irrelevant. But sample size issues are always under relevant. It's just a question of are they correct or not.
Yeah.
So there's two things, I think, to
take. Or saying that they're going in detail about average, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I think
there were some.
Less, so.
I think there were some cases where it was more of a relational understanding where they kind of mention average, but it's not. It seemed just like a complete picture sort of idea. It didn't seem like something they were tacking on the end. And I think in that case, it's okay. But I think if it's short of relational, which should definitely be kind of a special category, if it's short of relational, I think we should count it as an unnecessary statistical idea.
Hello, Lindsay Elrod, my MB becomes a UC, which means we all agree on that.
Awesome. Okay, Elrod. Sweet. All right, I made that change on my copy.
Kirsten Erskine. I actually think mine will go to a zero.
I put mine at a zero, so I'm pulling that up now to kind of see why.
Page 28, Lee.
All right, thank you.
That still moves us up a category. It's still an improvement because we went to a 50-50 split, so there's some measure of agreement.
Why I didn't put that one at a zero was that last statement. Because then the results would have turned in favor of them.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know what to do with what that meant.
So it's sort of like, that seems kind of like more of your opinion there.
When I read it, at first I couldn't figure out what she was talking about. And then I think what she's talking about is, like, I think she misunderstands the concept of selection bias, probably because whenever we talk about selection bias in class, we talk about how it could be driving the results. And so I think that's what she's saying is usually it's the idea of picking just the right people to get the results you were hoping to see in some sense. I think that's what she was trying to say, which may be reading too much into it. But, like, I think what she was saying is, oh, well, the only time selection bias is a problem is if you're claiming, hey, look, I found evidence of this thing, but it really wasn't evidence of what you were looking for. You just had a sample that happened to give you those results. So I put that under relevant incorrect because selection bias is something that's clearly relevant to sample selection, but she misunderstood it, so I put it in as an incorrect idea.
Well, I would honestly agree that that's what she meant, but I was trying not to read it by me knowing the students, which was hard to do, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah, I'm sure that's something we'll all struggle with.
Yeah, I just took it as some strange opinion that didn't really make sense, so that's why I put it as a extraneous contextual opinion.
Well, this actually brings up a good point. Should we all be coding our own students and actually bring that information, ironically, that contextual information, into play, kind of knowing the student? Because this is qualitative research. It doesn't have to be all cut and dry. We're trying to make it as consistent as possible, but that might be beneficial information to have. Or should we grade, in some sense, kind of rotate, where you guys, I think, would rotate amongst yourselves. These are none of my students, so I don't need to worry about it. But should you switch classes so that you're grading people you don't know?
But my only worry with that is then we all have different ways of teaching things.
True. So I think in that case, then, it might be okay if you really know a student and you that can kind of help you understand whether they've got it or not, I say bring that information to the table. You know, I think you can work with that information within the guidelines and we'll get a good product. Because the idea is we're trying as best we can, we're trying to capture their understanding. And that's a little hard to do when you have just a couple sentences written in response to an exam question. So I say bring that information to the table.
Okay, then if I can use my prior knowledge, I would classify her as a zero.
Okay.
All right. Well, yeah, I think in instances where we've got, you know, a disagreement and, you know, if we can, if that's the last piece of information that tips it one way or another, then I think that's fine.
Yeah. I also think, in my mind, you know, a lot of times I think when there's inter-rater agreement, I think you're talking, you know, two people. And I think the fact that there are four of us looking at these at this point, in my mind, getting three people who agree and one person who doesn't, that's still, like, that's still agreement in my mind.
Majority rules.
Yeah, like, if three of us saw it one way, that probably means it's a pretty good criterion. Because what the idea is, we're testing our criterion here. Are our criterion clear that we can implement them consistently? And I think if three of the four of us give the same rating, I think that indicates, okay, the criterion was clear. And remember, Randy said we don't have to search for 100%. 80% is good. And I think we come close to that if we only consider, you know, you still 50-50 may not be agreeable enough. But I think if three of us agree, I think that counts as a win. So I think overall we have a decent system here. Well, I'm going to have to get going shortly, so can we turn our attention to that last case where we had extreme disagreement, Matt Heppner?
Heppner.
Page 19.
Mine changes to UC.
Ah.
Okay. I need to find UC.
So then I'm
Yay,
being difficult.
Tara agrees with me.
Oh, actually. So, Harley, you got a zero, and I got a multiple contextual. All right.
Let me look at why.
Damn it.
Mine has to do with this preppy woman going to France.
Oh, yeah. No, that definitely, I think that pushed me over. Ah, here we go. Into multiple contextual opinion, useless things in her bag. With the businessman only carrying his laptop.
I struggled with this one, and it definitely stuck out to me as, wow, this kid is bringing in a lot of contextual information here. But then the way I looked at it was, he's talking about a source of bias, and he's just really describing in detail how the bias might work. And so that's why I put it in as relevant. So I kind of coded that under one. But if you guys want to say, you know, there was another case like this where someone kind of went into a lot of detail in describing possible bias. And if we want to just say, you know, in that case, if it kind of stands out to us as, wow, that's a lot there, then we might want to consider it irrelevant. I would be fine with that. I'll see if I can find that other example I'm thinking of. Anyone have any other thoughts on this while I'm looking?
Yeah, so when does it cross over from being legitimately issues with sampling to someone who's just irritated with women bringing too much stuff onto the plane? Like, that's where I'm having trouble with this, is...
Like, if you just simply said, you know, different people bring on different amounts, that's one thing.
Yeah.
Pretty good detail.
Yeah, it's hard for me to...
You were going to France and you got pissed off at some woman or something.
Yeah, so how do you... It's hard for me to tell the difference between is this a legitimate, albeit detailed, issue with sampling techniques, or is he just irritated with women who carry too much luggage?
I think that's a judgment call we're going to have to make, and I think that's what Randy was talking about, how sometimes there's a quantitative difference in the answers, and then sometimes it is qualitative. For instance, so one of the other ones that I thought gave a lot of detail was Michelle Tenzing. And that one, we had a reasonable amount of agreement on. That was a 50-50 split, so not perfect, but good. And she goes into a lot of detail again. She says tourists are more likely to carry more luggage onto a plane because they have probably been gone for longer than, say, a businessman who's only going out of town for a few hours. So that certainly seems like there's a lot more being brought to the table than someone who's saying, yeah, tourists are going to pack differently. There was also someone else who kind of complained, I think that was Sean Baker, who complained to me about, like, he's trying to explain why a larger, like, why we may not notice a weight problem. He says, oh, you know, people might be bringing larger bags that just leaves them more room, so not like it's packed and it's heavier. And also purses are getting huge, going back to the women thing. And I think I flagged that as kind of irrelevant context because that wasn't really related to bias. So I think, do you guys just want to make a judgment call and say these ones where it really kind of makes us pause and say, wow, that's a lot of information in there, that's then straddling the line into irrelevant? Or do you want to say if they're describing bias, no matter how detailed they get, that stays relevant? I say we vote.
Well, I was going to say, if you looked at, I'm just, you know, for comparison's sake, because Rachel Diggin, we had much more agreement on, it appears. And she's one that, you know, even says that someone from Cincinnati to L.A. may pack significantly more or less than someone going from Texas to Michigan. So she didn't go into, like, a lot of detail about a businessman or anything like that.
Right.
So it looks like most of us agree that she never really crossed that line. So, I mean, it's kind of like, I think that is going to be an awfully fine line.
Yeah. So then do we want to just say, instead of having to make that judgment call, do we want to just put them in the relevant category? Say it relates to bias, and so it's relevant information.
I don't know if it always is relevant, because you would think that maybe they're saying, well, no, all these people that next to me pack way more than everybody else. I don't know.
Well, that, I think, is not related to bias. That, I think, is definitely extraneous. If they're certainly referencing their personal experience in some way, I would classify that as extraneous. But if they're just describing something without putting themselves in that scenario, we might be able to make the case that that's bias-related. Or we just deal with the judgment call and recognize that this is qualitative research and is, by some definition, difficult to quantify, to objectify, or subjectify.
I guess I would have to say I would go with the judgment call, because for some odd reason there's just something about this preppy woman going to France that bothers me. Like, it's more detailed than it needs to be. And it's like makes you wonder, like, did you have a personal experience with that?
I'm okay with that. Me and Tara, what do you think?
Well, and I mean, part of the, I mean, because he's basically, he doesn't think it's a valid conclusion, even though it's, it should be. And so, you know, we want to make sure, because he's gonna get P's for the first part, and we definitely want to make sure so that, you know, he's one of the ones that we want to have pop up as somebody who didn't focus necessarily on. I mean, he's really not focusing on sampling issues correctly. I mean, in terms of what we're looking for. I mean, sort of looking at the end result of what we want to analyze once we get all this coded.
Something like this, I'm also looking, I wonder if we should actually have it show up in both categories. So like, okay, so they are describing bias, which is relevant, but in this case incorrect because it was a random sample. And then in the other case, they're bringing way too much context to the table, so at some point it becomes an irrelevant brain dump almost. So they would get a check under both questions for the same statement because it kind of is both.
Well, I mean, the P kind of gets at that idea that they are talking a little bit about bias but not really correctly.
Right.
And then if we give them a C of some sort,
right,
then the idea that there is some contextual opinion stuff getting thrown in.
Tara, how do you feel about the judgment call issue? Are you comfortable with that?
I am. I'll have to change my judgment call since I'm looking. Like for Rachel Dugan, I gave her a C for that extra line that you guys didn't think crossed. So, but I'm okay with using a judgment call.
So, Lee, I noticed on Matt Heppner, you put an MC for question two. You thought there were multiple things.
I saw so much with the preppy woman in France and the businessman carrying his laptop, and I just called it multiple.
Okay.
I'm happy with it. This is what I was talking about before, where there was a couple times where I was like, I didn't know if it all counted as one idea or if it was really multiple ideas, but I'm certainly happy to change that to a UC. Now that I kind of read it again, it's really just one rant, not multiple rants. So, yeah, feel free to change that to a UC.
All right, that gives us all UCs on that one for question two. It also takes away, I was the only one who disagreed on question one for Matt Heppner, and that was because I was classifying his rant as something to do with bias, and I was classifying it correctly, although looking back on it, I shouldn't have because I didn't realize it was a random sample, so I just kind of messed that one up. So we're all in agreement on the first question and the second question for Matt Heppner now. And I think kind of the general thing to take away from that, the general coding thing, is that we are going to try and make that qualitative distinction between when we feel like they have crossed that line into way too much detail, that then becomes an extraneous contextual factor to be counted under question two. So it gets counted under question one as some source of bias, that they're discussing a potential selection bias. And then we have to decide based on whether their sample was random or not, whether it's correct or incorrect. And then it also gets counted under question two because it becomes so much detail that it becomes irrelevant contextual information at some point.
Okay.
Has everyone agreed with that summary and okay with coding that way for the future?
I think so.
Herla, when I update mine, we're all in agreement on Rachel Wood part two. We're all in agreement on Taylor Reynolds part two. And three are in agreement on Eric Raw because I changed to a U.S. for him. So that gets rid of two more where we now completely agree.
That is awesome. So this is a productive discussion. It's helping us figure out make sure our codes are working. Cool.
All right. So somebody said they had to get going?
Yeah, I have
okay.
My ride home coming soon, so I am going to have to leave. But I think this system looks good.
Yeah.
I think for the most part, we can move forward this. Do we want to do one more test run where we pick the same group of students and all code them again, or do we want to just say we'll go off and code our own?
Why don't we try a different group of students, ones that we haven't spent so much time looking at, and see if we get a fresh group of students, how we do with it.
Okay. Who wants to volunteer data for that?
Well, I have mine scanned. Of course, I only had 9 students consent, but I don't know if you just want to use the set as testing for testing purposes. So I have all this, I have all of them scanned. I have all like 60 or whatever, or not 60, but 48 or whatever of them scanned. I scanned all the tests, but I only had 9 consents, so I don't know what that means.
I say for testing purposes, since this would never get published, we're okay to use a bigger group, bigger than just the 9.
Okay.
And then we'll just, you know, when it comes time to entering the data, they won't end up in the final, those extra people won't end up in the final data file. Do you want to say maybe make it like 30 instead of 50?
Okay. Wait, you want
to
do 30? Why not?
I'm worried about doing that if we're going to have judgment call as being part of it. I'm scared that we're going to have the same issues that, you know, if I don't know the students and all that type of stuff, if that's going to cause a concern.
But then, you know, we don't have to aim for perfect agreement. And when we discuss these, we can see if that's the issue. And then if that's the issue, we'll know it's really okay to continue. I would think, like we did, not knowing your students, we did a reasonable job, I think, coming to agreement. And I think we would get better now that we've talked out some of the issues that could come up. And so I'm kind of curious to see how we would do with a new system. And then as we go over the new system, we can identify, is there a problem here, or is it just, you know, we happen to know this student better?
So are we going to have any results for our poster then?
I think we could certainly summarize these for our poster, your class. And we could...
I have a small set, too. I mean, I only have 30 total because most of my students dropped this semester. So,
are yours scanned?
They can be scanned in 5 minutes. My scanner's sitting in front of me. Actually, I may have... No, I have the second set scanned. I don't have the first question scanned already. But I can easily scan them.
Can you hang on 1 second? I'm sorry. I'm just going to... I don't know what would happen if I put you on hold. Well, just ignore me for a minute.
Okay.
Hello. Hey. I'm leaving in 5 minutes.
All right. We can hear her entire conversation.
Okay. Well, we'll be here. We'll be something else, and then.
Maybe we should do.
All right.
Lee, maybe we should do your 9. Jackie, maybe we should do your other class. Maybe we should just try to knock out the rest of these.
Knock out
the
ones that are
us.
Actually going to count?
Yeah.
All right, I'll have to pull because I just scanned all the tests together. I'll have to go through. No, it won't take that long. I'll just have to pull the 9 that actually count because it's just scanned as one big file.
Maybe we can meet on, when are we all going to be there?
Yeah, that was my next question is, what's everybody's schedule?
I'm here.
I'll
be here all week.
Justin and I fly in Tuesday morning, and I'm in the Teaching with Statistics R workshop at 1 o'clock on Tuesday. So I'm being a pain because I'm doing one of the workshops.
I'm not coming until Wednesday. Originally, I was planning to come on Tuesday.
Okay.
But I'm driving, and...
When are you getting in?
I'm getting in there Thursday, early afternoon.
Early afternoon. Okay, so we have... There's a cluster meeting at 1.
When?
Hold on, let me... on Thursday, I'm sorry.
Thursday?
Yeah, sorry, I have the calendar from Justin here. So there's some sort of... Yeah, it says 1 to 3, there's cluster meetings.
Is that for the new group?
I think that's for us as well.
Oh.
Hold on, let me find out, see if he's still here. No,
there's also a catalyst meeting at 1.
Huh?
There's also a catalyst meeting at 1.
Oh, is there?
Yeah.
All right. Well, there may or may not be a cluster meeting at 1. I'll ask Justin when I get home tonight. And I'll send
Randy said that
there.
We were meeting over lunches on Friday and Saturday. Because I emailed him and asked if he knew if we were meeting Saturday afternoon.
Yeah.
And he said that we were only meeting over lunches.
Hmm.
I think. Let me make sure.
All right. I can ask Justin. So nobody seems to know the schedule. I know that we have there's an activist meeting at 3:30, and there's a reception Thursday night. But
she said, he said, this is the latest I've heard from Joan about the cluster plans. We'll have 2 lunch meetings scheduled Friday and Saturday, and then on Saturday during lunch there's a graduation for the current cluster.
Okay. Okay. Maybe there's not a cluster meeting. Okay. So when is our poster session? I should probably
Saturday.
Know this. Saturday. Okay. So did we want to try and meet? Do we need to meet together as a group to go over anything?
We might be able to handle a bunch of stuff via email or. Well, I guess email would be the best way to get in touch with everyone.
Is that your second class, Jackie?
Yes.
And I'll scan mine in an email.
Okay.
And I think we can summarize the results we have here, certainly the ones where we're either in total agreement or 3 of us agree. I think we could pull the majority rules rating. The issue we'll have is now the 50-50 split. The 50-50 split or the disagreement having to figure out there.
Herlo, we were thinking that we could get through Jackie's second class and my 30 students and Lee's 9, too. Just try to do the rest of them for the 3 of us. That would give
okay.
us more results.
Yeah.
All right. That will work. All right, I need to get going now.
Okay.
So I'll be in touch with email with all of you,
yeah,
and
we'll
even see you all fairly soon.
Yeah. So we'll just kind of do all this by email, and if we need to figure something out in North Carolina, we will. And then, Hurley, you're going to check on the printing?
Yes.
And see what's up with that?
Yes, I will.
Okay.
All right. And who gets the recording this time?
Me, Jackie.
Okay.
All right. We will get
on.
All right.
Well,
see you guys
have
next
a good
week.
Day, everyone. Yeah.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you. Please stand by.